This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fancy.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not.
Wait.
That's true, you do got me. Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it!
Toby and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy, okay. Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs and the stars with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a liar, better mode in. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if it did, I never traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Goose like a large, so many more. 10 in the more, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the more, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cuties can be, you can watch this on YouTube with you for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody! Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Fight night!
Fight night!
Fight night! Man. Action picked up yesterday at that weigh-in, huh?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Angry black man. Angry old black man. Don't be crawling up next to an angry old black man who hasn't taken his medication yet.
Don't step on his foot. Slap the taste out of Jake Paul's mouth. Jesus. Took it like a champ, though. I will give Jake Paul credit there.
Well, you roared it up. You can take it.
Yeah. Gave him an old slappy poo right
first
across
all,
the old grill.
Can we talk about Mike needing to wear bigger shorts?
That's his thing. He's not going to change tradition, Vlad. He's going to go with what he's going, and he's got his Versace banana hammock.
Oh, come on.
What do you want me to say? What he is, dude? Crazy.
Is he going to wear the loincloth out there?
What? No, he's got to go classic black shorts, I would think. Are you talking about the towel?
Yeah.
The towel on top? Yeah, I would think so. You got to bring out all the nostalgia. That's what the people are there for, dude. That's what the people are there for tonight on Netflix. Doo-doo. Love that Netflix sound. Anyway, let's get the headlines, everybody. Brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen miles in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Atlas. Remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. The Miami Heat back on the hardwood tonight against the Indiana Pacers. That is a 7 o'clock tip-off from Indiana. God, that place sucks. Woo! Let me tell you something, Leroy.
All I remember about Indianapolis besides playing there is what people don't realize, the year I came out, there were so many underclassmen that came out. It was the only year they had an additional combine for all the underclassmen.
Wow.
But here's the problem. It was in February or March.
Okay.
When is the normal combine?
I think that's about right. Let me see. 20.
Yeah.
Combine. This year was in February, end of February, early March.
So they had another one. And they had Farm Aid. So we had to do it outdoors. And it was 45 degrees.
Wait, Farm Aid as in like they had it in
the concert.
The concert.
They had Farm Aid, the concert.
That's a concert?
Yeah,
yeah. You don't remember back in the day?
When you said farm aid, immediately I was thinking like they're auctioning off tractors for charity.
No, he's younger. Remember, he's a little bit younger.
No, so, what the hell's farm aid? What is that?
It was like We Are the World type of
for
thing.
Farmers?
You ever heard of Live Aid?
You remember the song We Are the World?
Yeah.
A collaboration of all the artists? They did.
So is it farm as in pharmacy?
No. You ever heard of Live Aid?
I've heard of Live Aid.
Okay, that was the concert. So they did Farm Aid, which was the equivalent of Live Aid.
For farmers?
For farming, because farming was
growing. Oh, okay.
Yeah, farming was taking a hit.
So they had that going on at the same time. So that means we had to have our combine at the Indianapolis Colts facility outdoors.
Oof.
It was cold. Jeez. So we talking about running 40 shuttles, doing all that stuff outdoors.
Boy, they're really committed to Indianapolis as a place. I saw that I got reported this week. They're like, the combine is returning to Indianapolis. I'm like, yeah, of course it is. Like, this is what they have. This is the Pacers and Caitlin Clark.
Just imagine.
I think I ran my 40 in a sweatshirt.
Did you?
Yeah. It was cold, dude. I took my sweatpants off.
Should have rocked the
Tyson. Ran the 40 and put my sweatpants back on.
Should have gone with the Versace undies.
So, yeah, it was a unique, and they never did it again. They never had an additional combine.
Hmm.
So it was crazy.
Like kind of feels like your draft deserves an asterisk.
Why?
You didn't really have to run it
in sweatpants. That sucks.
And I didn't run it. I just a sweatshirt. I took my sweatpants off.
Oh, okay.
But then, wait, it didn't change the draft.
You don't think if you were a little more aerodynamic, you never know, a 40 time, you could have had Al Davis drooling over you.
In fact, me running a 4.5 when it was 45 degrees and windy gave me more. Oh, that guy can play under any
circumstances. Oh, that's a football player.
Wait. Yeah. Tobin, was that 4.5 wind aided?
Nope.
I don't know.
Dude.
I don't know. You said it was windy.
Let me tell you something.
It was windy. I don't know.
But guess what? When I got done running my 240s, my eyes were dry, my lips looked like I kissed a powdered donut, and all I wanted was moisturizer.
It looked like Ty Bigums.
Hey, Did you skip anything at the combine?
Yeah.
What'd you skip?
I ran my 40s. I did some routes and stuff like that, and then they had some other drills, and I didn't do those because I was locked up.
Lift?
No. Yeah, but like I think I could have did it maybe 15 times. I think the most I ever did it was like 17, 18. But then I start thinking to myself, the guy said, "You doing the bench press?" And my reply was very Leroy. I said, "The day I got a bench 225 off my chest, it'll be one of my last days of playing football because I'm already got."
Fair point.
So like as a running back,
I don't think the coaches liked your philosophies.
Hold on, Leroy. I have a question for you. Did you watch, was it the UM game? Yeah, it was the UM game with that linebacker with the neck roll? With the neck pad? The linebacker for, who is it? What's the team they lost to last week?
Oh, Georgia Tech?
Yeah, Georgia Tech had a linebacker that had like the old
neck roll.
The neck roll. And I was like, oh, is that an honor to you?
No, dude, let me tell you something.
You don't see neck rolls anymore.
When I got concussed.
You don't see neck rolls anymore.
Hey, when I got concussed and they took me to the hospital, I tried it. I'm like, let me see. I'm like, can't turn.
How come science determined that the neck roll wasn't working, but the guardian cap does? Because I feel like the neck bro science would suggest the neck roll would work better because it keeps your head off from hitting the back of the canvas.
But it's not the guardian cap kind of muffles the collision.
The small ones, though, right? Isn't it supposed to be like almost like for like I thought the whole point of the guardian cap when it came out was for offensive linemen and defensive linemen in practice because you know they're like knocking heads like Rams all the time.
No, not really. See, that's a big misnomer. The thing about offensive and defensive line is it's all chicken fighting. It's all hands and arms, and if you watch an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman do pass pro, that's why they do it with no pads.
I think that guardian cap doesn't work. Just on eyesight.
It just the theory behind it is, okay, Just imagine, here, I'll give you a perfect example. If I take and I hit this can, right? Yep. You hear that?
Yep.
That's your head in there. Now I'll put this around it. Now it does it. It softens the blow.
I think the guardian cap works. Come on, look at Devon Achane. Yeah. He's been running and playing very well with the guardian cap.
Nobody touches him, though. He's too fast.
That's that guardian cap.
He got one time.
Hey, it only takes one. What are you talking? Like, I love the way people try to.
He got KO'd across the jaw.
It only took one time for me to be up in the hospital giving a thumbs up on the way out the stadium.
No, he takes Mike Tyson one punch and Jake Paul can go down and vice versa.
It only take one punch.
And vice versa.
I don't understand how you could come with that analogy and being a fan of the fight game, knowing elbows and one shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not wearing, they don't wear headgear that much.
Okay, so think about it this way. When they spar and they put the...
Yeah, but that's... I was talking about this with Golen, surprisingly, yesterday, because he was asking me why people don't... This was a real question. He asked me why boxers don't wear headgear. And I was like, first of all, because nobody would pay for that. And second of all, they don't even know like how much it prevents concussions. Like the bigger element of it is to prevent cuts. Like that is the more important thing.
Here's the deal. You first have to understand what a concussion is. A concussion is not the contact. A concussion is your brain being jarred inside your head. Okay? So technically you're right that you can still get jarred enough to get a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
But what the hit does, it softens that severe jarring, because plastic, when plastic hits, it bounces off of you. You see what I'm saying? So when you have two helmets hit, both guys' helmets go back, and that creates more of a jarring. You soften that blow a little bit, and the head doesn't jar as much. Come on, man. Think about it. Yeah, you're like, I'm trying to give you some common sense as to why these things are what they are.
I just don't know if the guardian cap works. I'm skeptical.
I'm telling you what it
is. By the way, I'm not the only one. Tua is too. All right. Tua is not wearing it.
That, and that's, you know what? That's great for a quarterback to think that, right?
But the most concussed.
Hold on. I've seen offensive linemen wear the guardian cap, and they're supposed to be the biggest, toughest guys in the world.
I'm telling you what it does.
It helps protect.
It softens the blow. It would be, look, think about this. If I hit you in the helmet with a pool noodle, right?
Yeah.
Versus a baseball bat. The jarring of your helmet with the baseball bat is going to be more severe because that bat is hard.
Right.
Right? So if I took something and put it over my helmet, even with the baseball bat, it's going to soften the blow. You're still going to get hurt, but it's going to soften the blow from that plastic bouncing and jarring your head even more.
I get you.
And like the theory behind it is valid, right? And the reasons behind why people get concussions are valid. But understand, it is not the hit that causes the concussion, because you can get hit pretty good, but depending on how your body is positioned, your head doesn't jar as much.
I just want to know why they stopped using the old neck roll. That's why we got here in the first place.
Oh, man. Because the neck rolls, that's classic. You're a badass with the neck roll. All badass linebackers wore the neck rolls in the 80s.
Wore the neck roll. That's so they could get the head up in there. But see, the whole thing is you're supposed to tackle and hit what you see. That's the whole theory behind tackling, because if you have your head up, that, you know, the jarring is not supposedly as bad. It's when you turn or when you put your head down, then that causes. So they tried to create penalties for guys that put their head down. But the problem is everybody's moving.
I bet the guy who invented that thing is probably pissed. He was probably like killing it on a patent for like a good three decades, and then all of a sudden he's like, where'd it go? All of a sudden, not here anymore. You know, maybe he was the guy that invented that stupid mitten that baseball runners wear. I hate that thing.
My God, what is that? An oven mitt?
Yeah, I hate
much. Well, and you know why that is?
Yes,
so they don't end up with one of these.
I understand, but you want to know something? It's like, it looks ridiculous. Look,
all
it
you need ridiculous. To do is slide and hook your thumb on the base.
I understand, but you need to be like a man, like Juan Pierre did, and hold batting gloves in your hand. That's how you did it.
Same concept. Keep your thumb out of it.
Yeah, that's what JP did.
But I bet you JP right now would have had that glove on.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Hard to say. I don't think he would have. He's pretty old school.
Dude, why are you haven't – look, this is what I don't understand with this dude here.
Just looks stupid.
He was leading the charge in the tour –
protecting.
But yeah. Jiu-jitsu, and now they have methods designed to protect players – in multiple sports, and you are 100% against
it. Not 100% against it, but I just think it looks goofy, and I don't know that it works.
How do you know if somebody's stealing the base? Well, wait. What's more goofy?
Yeah.
A guy with a glove on, or when Shohei tried to steal a base like this?
Oh, so well, it's just stupid. Like, you look like what do you got?
Arm was broken!
Taking out the cookies?
This proves my point once again. Tobin's a sports fan. That likes with fringe thoughts, with fringe France thoughts. He wants not only to be entertained, but he also wants the players to look good while they're entertaining him.
Of course. Of course.
Wait, well, we don't, you know.
So if Juan Pierre steals a base, do you care where these holding gloves that have the oven mitt on?
I don't. I can't live in a hypothetical world where Juan Pierre's wearing an oven mitt because the man was the best base stealer and he did it like a G, which was holding your batting gloves in your hand.
You know
hand.
Why? Because that was all that was available at that time. Why don't you get out of the Stone Ages and progress with your sports?
JFig, write down for next spring training when we talk to Juan Pierre that we need to ask him if he would have worn the oven mitt. I bet he says no.
I bet he says
I yes. bet you he says yes, he would have stolen more bases with the oven.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, now I got to get him on tomorrow. I mean, I'll get him on next week. Now I need an answer to this. Take a quick break. Back after this. Hey, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. I sent Leroy out. Just like he did with Brendan. Yeah, that one last night. Look, the Panthers lost. Was it really a loss whenever Jonah Gadjevich knocked somebody the hell out? Oh, all we do against the Devils, but Jonah Gadjevich walks away 2-0. That was great. I always loved the leverage game in the hockey fight too. They were circling each other. They were like they were sizing each other up, Leroy, and then they get the grab. They grab the jersey, and so you kind of like the jersey fabric under uppercut right there, and then like then the haymakers start going because someone's got to throw the overhand right.
We have a duck call.
It looked like he was about to get got, Vlad, and then boom, over the top, he dropped.
That last point, your Plagans had a great call of it. I'm going to play right now.
Here we go. This is a heavyweight battle. This is
McDermott and
the
Gadjevich.
Main event. Gadjevich and McDermott, two of the toughest combatants in the business right here, sizing each other up in the circle down to our left. Gadjevich and McDermott. They lock horns. They exchange rights. A couple come in from Kadjovich. The left's from McDermott. Tries to go with the right-left combo. And then Kadjovich with a right of his own. The battle spills out to the top of the circle. Kadjovich holding back McDermott. The helmet off Kadjovich. Oh, he dropped him with a couple of stiff shots upstairs. And down goes McDermott. And then they're separated by the linesman. What a scrap that was. And I tell you what. There were some heat behind those punches coming in from those two. And the way that fight went, Billy, McDermott looked like he gained the upper hand. And then Kadjovich countered and took over at the end.
At the very end, he hit him with a ball.
Man, it only takes one. It only takes one, dude.
You know what I hate?
What?
I look at the private chat.
Yeah?
And I see, you know, you want some sound.
Yeah.
And I read the titles.
Right.
I'm already annoyed.
I haven't even said it. And then when I saw the cut that he wanted, I'm like, I already know what's gonna happen. He's gonna get excited again. You know that. You know he's gonna get excited. Yes, you're gonna start. Oh,
hard to say. I don't know what I'm gonna feel.
What? I know you. I know you because you can't stay mad at this person for so long. You can't.
Listen, I was over it. I licked my wounds. I took it under the chin. He owned it. And we I thought we were going to move forward.
It's 2 days already.
Right. It's past 24-hour period.
That's right.
Like we all, and then I read this and just read the title. And I'm right back where I was, and I haven't even heard what he had to say.
He's referring, of course, to Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra yesterday, as they practiced in Indiana, was asked, I believe he was asked by Jason Jackson, is there anything you have to bring that you have to correct from the Pistons game, or do you just leave it where it was? And, you know, Eric Spoelstra had some thoughts, but he had a quote that, you know, makes him the beautiful maniac that he is, and this is... This is Eric Spoelstra.
Right where I started.
This is Eric Spoelstra on the ending of the Pistons game.
You know, when you lose those, you just have to embrace all of it. We are in an incredible profession. You know, that's what I love about it the most. Even as horrible, you know, as bad as I felt after the game, it's what makes you feel alive in this league when there's competition and there's consequences. If there wasn't consequences, you wouldn't feel the elation. You know, from great wins, but there's also the other side of it. And, you know, we've had two games where it was two totally different emotions, and we'll get better from it.
Wow.
I am feeling the other side of it. Eric, I was done.
Yeah.
I was ready to move forward with Indiana.
Right.
And then you reel me back in.
Well, he's just, I don't think, what's wrong with what he said? Like, that's what makes him the great coach that he is. Like, he's just basically saying.
No, that was makes him a great talker.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying.
He made a mistake.
I know, but we were past it.
We were.
We were done. I wasn't going to even talk about that. I was ready to move on to Indiana.
I mean.
Right? And now he sucked me back in to relive it.
Toby, you opened the wound.
Over and over again. Look.
It was all scabbed up, and then you opened the wound again.
Right. I took the Band-Aid off too soon.
I don't know what to tell you, dude. What is he supposed to do? Say, I don't want to talk about it?
No. And say, look, you make a mistake, you grow from it, you move on, and right now we're concentrating on Indiana. Boom. Done.
Right.
But no. It makes me feel alive. No, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't.
Me. I feel dead.
No, I think that's what makes it. But I think the deadness and the sadness is what makes Eric Spoelstra feel alive.
I felt like the start of They Not Like Us. I see dead people. That's how I felt.
You want to know what it is? It's basically like, it's almost like being a degenerate gambler. And they always say the highs are the same whether you win a big jackpot or when you see the chips about to be raked away and you lose everything. Heightened feelings are the same. So I think Eric Spoelstra, in a lot of ways, the crushing losses are the same as the high highs.
No.
You feel...
Wait a minute.
Obviously, one feels good and one feels bad, okay, but the sensations...
I like the feel. Listen.
The sensations are just as heightened for the losses, the crushing losses, as they are for the wins.
Let me ask you a question.
Yep.
You feel better after Blue Chew or getting kicked in the nether regions?
Well, I mean, obviously after some Blue Chew.
Okay. It's, the excitement is still there, but one feels god-awful bad.
I don't think that's the same, dude.
Yes, it is. I felt like he just kicked me in the junk.
All right. Isn't there...
Nothing's worse than that.
Aren't there sensations, though, in thrill rides? Aren't there sensations, though, in thrill rides and the relief of it being over? Like, they're both very extreme feelings.
They both make
you feel alive.
Terrible analogy.
I don't think it is.
Terrible analogy, because when you get on the ride, you already know you're going to experience these things, okay? I did not expect to experience what I did on Tuesday, but then to make it worse, after I had gotten over it, to relive it because it made him feel alive.
I think Dr. Toboggan's right. I think Spo enjoys pain.
Was a masochist?
Might be.
Is that the one who enjoys pain or gives pain?
I think the whole Lido organization is a bunch of masochists, but in a good way, in a good way.
Basically, basketball nipple clamps.
I guess. Well, listen, I finally got over that situation and got the nipple clamps off. By the way, I did have nipple clamps for a segment.
Right when a tour was going on, too.
So, Vlad, we had the dartboard of doom, right?
Oh, okay.
I had to wear nipple clamps for a segment. So I got the nipple clamps. And you know, the old studio at 790, they had the open window.
Oh, no.
There was a class walking by. I'm sitting there just with.
Did you just say masochist. Class?
What?
Did you say class?
A class walking by. Yeah, it was
a
class.
A group of people. Yes, we're walking on a tour, and they saw your nipples.
Across from them, and they all look. They all get up close to the window. And say, is he? Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
They've right never seen his, man boobs before.
Right under his under his Bethune-Cookman dry fit. It says a masochist is a person who derives gratification from their own pain or humiliation. Yeah, maybe he is. I don't know.
Anybody that feels alive after a tough loss like this, I mean, come on. That's weird.
Schmeath and Schmolnick says Tobin is a snackokist. He's right.
Loves point snacks. For Twitcher.
I don't think it's that crazy what he said. Like, I understand him being that competitive and that crazy. Like, I think that there is there's not a big line between, like, what do they say? It's winning in misery, right? Like, that's the Pat Riley-ism. So it's like there's this very thin line, but both are the extremes that you have to teeter-totter back from.
But here's the deal. That's at the end of the season.
Yeah, this context.
I don't think it is at the end of the season. I think it's the same against the Hawks as it is for Larry O'Brien.
No. Come on, guys. This context. There's ways of losing that's going to hurt. And the coach being him. There's players like a play like
you. Vlad, do you ever wonder though, like why Eric Spoelstra loves the "We Have Enough" games during a regular season?
Because
likes to cook. Like he's like you know, the routine of it all. Like when he really gets to, he gets to get into the nitty gritty of it, and it falls out of routine. Like he likes to spice it up a little bit. That's why I always say a West Coast Spo gets frisky and kinky. That's why we saw Khalil Ware.
Yeah,
he likes to spice it up.
But now it's Midwest Central Spo. And he's calling timeouts when he doesn't have one.
Bland.
That's not bland.
Oof.
That was indecisive, Spo.
No, it was too decisive.
It was angry.
He was
going to
put Khalil in. He wasn't going to put him in. Then it just got all helter-skelter. The one thing that I would say with Spo is, no matter how pissed off he gets, he always has one thing. Poise. And that was, he said it himself. That he lost his damn mind. That's it. And that's fine. That's fine. We do that ever so often.
No, not me, dude. I don't lose my poise.
Wait, what?
Wait, I don't lose what? Boys. You can't tell me that.
Your boys, dudes, Wednesday.
We had to shoot you with a tranquilizer gun.
About what?
You were so upset after that loss on Wednesday. You were just as upset as Espo. And Lord knows we can't. Let's not talk about last season, how many times you had to be tranquilized. Come on.
I mean, it was a bad season.
Dame. Okay,
so you said you were poised during all
you're
that?
Well, I always come back no matter what. I'm always back and ready for the next one. You know? Like, I'm ready to get hurt again tonight. It's fine. Doesn't bother me. I'm ready. Let's go. You know, I would like, you know, more Khalil Ware, please. But, you know, that's another story for another day. Another story for another
day. Is Jimmy playing tonight?
No.
No.
He did post, though. Could be something, could be nothing. He did post on his Instagram a picture of him rehabbing with the caption, loading.
You mean load managing? Come on, dude. That was too easy.
Well, that's what he put.
That was too easy.
It might say buffering soon.
Buffering.
Well, you don't have the same pep in your step like Jimbo right now. Try Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Now you can chew it and do it. And the great part is, guys, it is online. There are no doctor's visits, no awkward conversations to have, no pharmacy visits. Just get shipped right to you in a discreet package. And I got a great deal for all our listeners out there. You guys can try Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code SHOWPONY. You use the promo code SHOWPONY at checkout. You're paying just $5 for shipping, but you are getting an entire month supply of Blue Chew for free. So what do you got to lose, guys? Go to BlueChew.com today. Use the promo code SHOWPONY. You won't be missing any back-to-backs. There won't be any load managing. Well, maybe there will be. I don't know. Depends on how you go and carry it out. But either way, Blue Chew is going to work for you. That's BlueChew.com. Use the promo code SHOWPONY. BlueChew.com.
I see dead people.
Hey, Mustard on the beat. Depot, any rap. He a free throw man.
Ah, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you up until 2 here on the program as we got a busy sports weekend ahead. Though no Canes. The Canes are have the week off, which bums me out a little bit. I kind of wish there was some Canes football to bounce back from.
Give up 30 on the bye week.
Come on, man. See what Cam Ward did for his O-line?
What?
Got everybody diamond chains with their numbers on them.
Cool.
That was kind of a cool move.
That NIL money's good, man.
Yeah, spreading that NIL money, dude. Better than when Fitzpatrick bought everybody on his offensive line a Yeti cooler with his face on him. Bum. Hey, join WQAM in Hollywood from the Joe Rose Show this Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Tamarack Moose Lodge at Rock Island Road in Tamarack. You guys can watch Miami take on Las Vegas in pro football action. Enjoy ice cold beer specials and get yourself entered to win a golf foursome to the Jacaranda Golf Club in Plantation. Dolphins, of course, take it on the Raiders. Game Day Uncensored comes your way at 9 a.m. on Sunday. Dolphins a touchdown favorite against the Raiders against Minshew Mania.
He moves around a little bit, so there's that.
He'll throw him up. He'll give you some, you know, you see anybody who's got more picks than TDs these days, you know you're going to have some opportunities, Leroy.
I will say this. Don't they have Bowers?
They do.
He's the real deal.
He's the real deal, dude.
He is the real deal. I think he leads the league in receptions.
Let me see. Bowers. Yeah, everybody was saying, like, out of college, he was going to be the truth and has not been a disappointment. Bow, bow, bow. Receiving.
I'm just worried about Max Crosby.
This is what we like to call Tobin looks up the internet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I came up with the Max Crosby.
57. He's not number one, but he's top seven right now.
Okay.
And he has some guys have 10 games. He has nine. But yeah, good season by him so far.
Well, that may be before last week, but I'm almost positive they said at some point he was leading the league.
I think Ja'Marr Chase leads everything right now.
Oh my goodness.
He is the leader of all things. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Well, you're frustrated at all with this whole not getting Tyreek Hill the ball thing. Like, I'm hearing the explanations this week from, you know, Wes Welker, and everybody's got to be more pristine. And I know that they're doing the shells and they're pressing him and all that stuff. But, like, Jamar's getting his numbers. I'm sure people haven't used this theory on him. I mean, he's not like a moose compared to Tyreek Hill. Like, what gives? Like, why is and taking the Tua games out of it? Tua's been back now for three games, and we haven't really had that whoa Tyreek Hill game.
There's a couple of things. You have to understand the way their offense operates. They run a lot of crossing stuff, a lot of get the ball out, and just by giving a look, they can have Tua look the other way. Right. So it's not necessarily a thing where Ja'Marr Chase goes down the field a lot. Tyreek doesn't. They run that intermediate stuff. And if you come down and double Tyreek, then Tua's just looking the other way.
Yeah, but what's changed? Like they did run it. Like we've seen plenty of bombskis to him.
Different stuff. But a lot of it was, you know, run after the catch.
Not always.
Not always. No, I'm not saying always, but for the most part. This offense doesn't really operate getting one guy the ball, even though.
Well, it did last year. Last year, it was all about him.
Keep in mind, Waddle was out a lot, too.
Not that much.
Banged up.
He was banged up, but he wasn't out that much. No, they said last year the goal was to get Tyreek Hill the football a lot, and they did. And obviously, they're running more. They're spreading the wealth a little bit more. But I miss cheetah bombs, dude. What gives?
Here's the problem with what you're saying. Are you about cheetah success or dolphin success?
Cheetah success last year led to more dolphin success.
He's not more to Tobin Tua success.
Yeah, I'm taking the Tua games out of them. I'm talking about the last games. I'm saying with the games that Tua's been in, he's really only had like the one breakout half against Jacksonville.
Right.
You know, I'm just asking. Like, he hasn't had bad games. You know, he's shown up, but I'm saying, like, I would say, like, he hasn't broken a game yet. Like, we've seen this guy pick up a fumble and run to the house with it. And I understand.
I get what you're saying, but would you rather not have as much success or not have the offense operate the way it is trying to get Tyreek the ball? There's a lot of things that go into it versus, you know, what you're saying. The other thing is that Ja'Marr Chase is the only guy. They spread the wealth around. They throw it to a lot of different people. They've gotten the tight end involved even more. You see what I mean?
But he's had a lot. I mean, this year, because, you know, they're losing some guys, but, you know, they've obviously had a very high flying offense this year. They're throwing the Dolphins offense hasn't been nearly as good.
Let's think about this. Tua hasn't had the numbers that he had last year
either. I guess that's what I'm asking there, because they're putting it under the guise of, well, we're getting defended different, which, okay, I'm not going to dispute that. They're watching the film. But when you have guys the talent of Waddle and Tyreek, like, I'm sure people have tried to take away Randy Moss before, and he still got his every once in a while, and it feels like they've gone almost ultra safe rather than, you know, trying to press the issue on it.
I think there's a lot of things at work here. One, it seems like since Tua's gotten back, they made a conscious effort to get the ball out of his hands. Okay, that shortens a lot of pass patterns. Two, they've done a lot more stuff around the line of scrimmage with Achan and Jonnu Smith and things like that. So that's going to take some stuff away. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, like, you got a whole bunch of rotations and movements with your offensive line. So all these things in mind, you're trying to be successful as best you can taking all those things. That's not even talking about the defense. That's not even talking about what the defense is and what your reads are, depending on what defense you see. See, as a defense, you can do things that make a quarterback look a certain way, right? You can do that. Now, you can still try to find ways to get Tyreek open, but you're also exposing your quarterback a little bit more.
Cody says
there's a lot of things that come into play with why the ball hasn't gone to Tyreek down the field more.
Cody says Reek would be doing the same with Boudreau. Boudreau is a way better QB. Here's what I would say to that, Cody, just in retort. We've already seen this quarterback and receiver tandem literally have more success in Tyreek Hill's career than any other QB right. that he's had. He's had Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So now, it's not like we haven't seen Tua be able to utilize Tyreek Hill. That's why I'm kind of confused by it.
So you're more upset with the offensive coordinator or maybe Mike McDaniel and his play calling?
I've wondered with McDaniel, like, is he letting the defenses dictate him a little bit too much? You know, I don't know.
Again, as a defense, I can roll a coverage a certain way to just make you look the other way. You see what I mean? That's the true art of offensive football, is that your job is to hit the open guy, not to hit a guy. Now, can they do something? I wish they would do one thing. One thing that would kind of change how they defend Tyreek and Waddle. Motion Tyreek to the same side as Waddle.
Then what?
You see what I mean? All those motions you're running, try that motion, that quick motion to the same side of Waddle, and then have them run a route instead of most of the time having them on different sides of the ball.
Used to be the greatest show on turf, dude. Had that motion in the ocean.
So that's so bad.
One, fire the bum guns.
Yeah. You got Tyreek Hill on his season here, Vlad. This was the cheetah. He was asked about it yesterday.
You know what? I feel like for me, man, I feel like I took a step forward, you know, in my game, man. Our precision coach, you know, he has helped me develop, you know, becoming a full, you know, a full receiver, which is blocking, you know, being stronger at the catch point, you know, running precise routes and stuff like that, man. So a lot of people, you know, a lot of people look at the numbers and say, oh, he was this and that, man. But I feel like as a player, I feel like I've gotten better. You know, as a leader, I've gotten better. And I just feel like I've gotten better in that sense.
Yeah, don't get arrested.
Well, technically it was detained.
I mean, you call it detained. Yeah, we call it arrested.
This is exactly what I wanted coming into this season, too, was Tyreek Hill to improve his blocking.
But I get everybody. Like, this is what we do as fans. We go to the numbers and let the numbers dictate how a player is or isn't doing.
But that's easier, Leroy, because it's easier to go to the numbers.
Right.
You don't. Okay, here's a great example, right? You can go at the end of a season and see somebody's stats, and then you're like, wow, he threw for 4,200 yards. He threw for 30 touchdowns. He only threw for like 13 interceptions. You're going to look at that and be like, this person had a great season. So when just any quarterback. I'm just saying, any player, you can easily go back at their numbers and look at it. But as the fans and the media, we look for the moments. And when those players don't come through in those moments, then that's when you start criticizing them. Because if you look at the numbers, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. And the numbers, you look at somebody's numbers, you can be like, oh, this person had a great season.
I don't think he's fallen off, Vlad. I definitely just feel like this is, I don't know, it's been a product of definitely a shift in philosophy for them. Maybe they think ultimately a well-balanced offense will translate better by the end of the year. But they almost, like Tua and Tyreek, once a game last year, or for really for the last 2 years, they felt inevitable. Like, you could do whatever you wanted, and there was going to be a point of the game where they beat you.
Here's another thing. Have you ever seen a ball thrown down the field to Tyreek where he was single covered?
Not lately, no.
Last year, that happened a lot.
Yeah, not lately. Usually there's like three guys around him now.
Again, so understand what you're asking. And so you're saying, hey, just chuck it up. If there's two or three guys running with Tyreek, somebody else got to be open, right? Tua's hitting that guy.
Take
so does that mean Tyreek's having a bad year because they're making a conscious effort to put a guy way over the top?
I think I'm putting it more on McDaniel than I am Tyreek, but not like it's not a matter
the
of
object of offense is to get a guy open.
I get you.
The guy open.
I get you, but like he's still the fastest guy in the damn league. Like there's never a point.
I just explained to you what they're doing.
I know you explained it to me. So I know you explained it to me. But you don't think this isn't happening to any other like that's what my point was with Ja'Marr Chase.
Not necessarily.
You think Ja'Marr he's only getting civil covered every game that goes into against the Bengals? They're like, boy, we really gotta stop Gesicki.
And Gesicki's having a hell of a year.
He's having a nice year. But, like, you know, like they're not going into these games thinking they got to take him away. They got to think, how do we get rid of Ja'Marr Chase? We got to take a break. We're way up against it. We'll get back into it.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.